Well, hello there. Welcome to the Heat Army podcast. We'll join you on the back of a decent result at the weekend. The game was put back, of course, 2 hours because of the adverse weather, but it seemed to be the right decision to do. The weather cleared up, the snow left, and Gateshead got the game underway, which hopefully everyone watched and enjoyed. But if you didn't watch it, we've got a couple of the key moments to share with you later on throughout the show. And also as well, we're going to be speaking to the son of former Gator manager, Graham Lee. Of course, Tony Lee, his dad, who had two stints at Gator. So we're going to be speaking to him about his dad and sharing some memories. And also as well, you may have seen that Gator have announced two new strips to pick from, either home or away. There's a vote, so hopefully we'll find out about that. We've got the pictures to show you as well, and also the news as well of the league. They've contacted all of the league clubs. I think the league itself had a meeting, and they've give three options for the clubs to put their thoughts forward on. One being that the clubs take out a loan because the grants are not going to be forthcoming anymore for the clubs to help survive and pay the wages. The second option as well is for the league to take out the loan, and we'll go into depth more later on that, but the league has minimal sponsorship really and not much TV money. Or the third option is for the clubs to decide whether they go and end the season now. So a lot to talk about. Mickey, we'll start at the top. Good result on Saturday.
Oh, hi. I was dancing around the living room when Macaulay Longstaff put that goal in.
It was a great finish.
Good thing. Absolutely fantastic ball in by Carl Griffiths as well. It looked as if it was just going to be one of them frustrating games. Yeah. We just couldn't get that goal, but fortunately we did. And like I say, what a ball over by Callum Griffiths. I thought Preston might have slid in and obviously couldn't reach it, and Macaulay's finished it at the back post. Amazing.
Well, and of course the triple save from James Montgomery as well, but we'll go into that a lot later. We have got our first guest lined up, and it is Graham Lee, son of Tony Lee, but we have got a little highlight package to introduce Graham. So this is him doing what he did back in the day.
Concentration, lose half a yard on your man, and you're dead and buried.
Thornton's delivery again. Phillips all about Cully. It's in. Graham Lee, the captain, has put Doncaster Rovers back in front. And can Bristol come back from this one?
Well, what did I just say? You lose concentration, you lose your man, you're dead and buried. Oh, they're dead and buried. We'll have to wait and see. Good delivery again from Thornton. Just half a yard on his man. Good downward header. He does well as well here. Good battle. Does everything right. Heads it back to where it's come from. Just goes over the defender. Good header. No chance for Phillips. Can they hang on to it this time?
You weren't bad back in the day, were you, Graham?
I could head the ball. Yeah, fond memories out there. Really fond memories.
It's nice to see he hasn't aged.
I have a little bit. I've just got good lighting. I've got a good lighting in here. That's all it is.
Graham, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
As I say, we seen the news that your dad was obviously battling dementia, or Alzheimer's, or was it the same thing? Obviously sad news, and we're seeing more and more of older footballers, having this. And I don't know. Has it been linked to his playing days?
I don't think anything's been highlighted or looked into. But if you look at all the research, what's going on at the moment, there's every chance. He tells me stories. Obviously, the balls in them days, what he used to play, but he continued to head the ball off the wall as a kid. And then going into games, he was quite strong in the air. So it does tie in, and that's a worry. It's a worry for many, many footballers, especially getting to that age. But even myself, I look back and my game was dominating in the air, heading a lot of balls. So I've done that throughout my life. And then you look at my dad and you think, hopefully some more research will get put forward and look at what is going on.
I certainly hope so. But so we want to obviously speak about your dad, because he was, I met him in his second spell, travelled on the team bus, because at the time the fans did travel on the team bus, and you know yourself, your dad could talk and tell a story. Obviously, you would have been younger when he started his management. I mean, I remember him being at Bishop Auckland, and it was a proper football ground. That wasn't a thing.
It was. My brother played as well for my dad when he was at Bishop Auckland. But yeah, as a kid, I grew up following, watching my dad's team. So as a young lad, I think Whitby was one of my first memories of going to watch them for many years. And then he moved on to Billingham Symphonian. And I think his first in from Billingham Symphonian was Gated. And I remember as a young lad going up and to the air and watching him train on the AstroTurf out the back and watching the games. And he loved that. I think it was a good opportunity for him at Gated, and he was really looking forward to it. I remember him speaking a few years ago about it. And he was just, how he said, like, he had a plan when he went there to keep them up. And he said he laid out his plan that the next season was to go mid-table and then hopefully push on from there. And I think if you look at, we looked at the season when he did actually leave the finishing table, his plan was in place, but he didn't get the time to put it in place.
Sad. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, Mickey sent me a picture today that he got from a Whitby fanzine. We've got that one there.
Yeah, that's him. Whitby have been fantastic. They've brought out a little booklet, and they've really put some good stories together. And they're selling them pamphlets for about £3 a go, which is going towards dementia. And I think through my brother and friends and my family, my dad, they've sold hundreds. It's been fantastic, and it's brilliant. My dad, he carries one round with him, and he reads it. And he's as much as at the moment, it's, you know, if you met my dad now, you'd think it's not the same man in the sense of how he is.
Mm-hmm.
His confidence, I think he's at a stage where he daren't say much because he keeps getting drunk. And so he gets a bit frustrated, but he'll still talk football. He'll still want to talk about his old players, but he just gets obviously mixed up with the years and the people and different things. But he's still a massive, his whole life is still football, even though he's probably forgot more than most of us know. So.
Well, we mentioned last week that obviously he was, you know, one of the brains of North East Non-League football. He knew every player and what level they were at, where they could play. I mean, we mentioned he brought in Steve Salvant, a Gator who nobody had heard of. And he was, you know, instrumental in the promotion season, obviously, after your dad left. But, you know, he brought in some fantastic players. And
I remember one of Gary Brabham. He brought Gary Brabham in. He went on to have a fantastic career. But he stayed at our house, Gary. And I remember Gary coming to the house the first time. We've never met this lad, this Scouse lad. He came up and he put his bags in the room upstairs. And we were just sat downstairs. And he came home and he ran in the front room with a balaclava on. And he came in screaming, and we all jumped out of our skin. Like, who's this? I'm like 14-year-old thinking, who's this? And then he just came up. And that was the character, Gary. But my dad loved that. He loved the banter. He loved the characters and he could bring. But he was every ex-player I speak to, they talk about how my dad made them feel. It was his man management. I think he made them feel like they could run through a brick wall, they could play at the top level, they could. And they always say, like, as much as that's what he was. And you speak about on the bus. I mentioned your story to him, and he was going, well, you have to say on the bus, you have to be like, that's what he was. And that's why he was a character. And it is at the moment, it's very difficult seeing your dad now at the moment, where he's quite withdrawn, he's very quiet. But every now and then you'll get a little glimpse, and you've got to hold on to that. But he's a football mad, but he's a people person, the character, and he's had a hell of a non-league career.
Certainly has. Before we started the podcast, I used to do a blog, and I used to do match reports. And at the time, I think it was Jamie Clark who had signed a striker. I did a match report, and I wrote, I give him, I think it was 6 out of 10, and wrote the ball was not his friend. And your dad was reading it out loud on the bus, and Jamie Clark was practically in tears the next to us.
that's about right, yeah.
That one.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I'll tell him that one. Yeah, he'll like that.
Yeah.
I was reading that Whitby fanzine today, and yeah. I don't know if you read about the Jeff Winter story.
Yeah, with my mum.
Yeah, and your mum was sitting trying to hit him with a handbag.
Yeah, they were a bad combination. Yeah, there's been more of them stories. I think Fisher Boffin, Goffey, Paul Goffey's on his radio show, and he gave my mum the hero of the week because my dad got sent off and he refused to leave the dugout. So my mum had to walk out the stand all the way around and drag him off. There's been some, over the time, there's been some fantastic memories and things, but through my dad and story, and it's brilliant listening to different people, like the two stories you told me about the Gated Times. I listen to that and it's fantastic.
Well, we've got a message from Deirdre. He's put your story and your dad's story is so moving. I can't imagine how difficult it is for your family going through this tremendous change. We all love football and the story is so humbling. Well, it is, but as I say, that's why we want to speak here, because obviously we want to share good times and show them that obviously your dad was very well respected and loved at Gateshead, and I wasn't around for the first time, but Mickey, you said he was unfortunate to leave the first time.
He was unfortunate. When he come in, he brought a lot of lads from Billings, like Phil Lineker, Neil Granicum, Charlie Butler, all them lads. And they were building a good side. And then, like you say, the next season, his aim was to get further up the table, but he wasn't given the chance, and I thought it was unjust what a certain chairman done to him. But what a man. When he crossed the white line, he turned in. You could see him having to go at the referees and linesmen off the pitch. He was such a nice man. What a lovely guy. And
in his last season, we were away at Fleetwood, and I think Tony Carter might be able to tell the story a bit better later on. But I think we were losing at half time, and someone said to your dad, I can't remember saying, what's going to happen in the second half? I think the mom, he was more worried, he goes, what's a Chef Wed score? Because you're a champion.
He probably had it on his predictor. What he used to sell on the team.
Yeah, there's every chance that as well, he was always he'd always make the call after my games, but he was always, like you said, when he got on the touchline, I think the refs were a bit fearful because his game was ref. But he'd feel for everything. He just wanted to win games, and he wanted the lads to win for the lads as much as anything else. And that's what he was. He was never a manager who went in for money or got lots of money to spend. He just went in because he loved the game and he loved bringing players on and trying to get best out of players.
Yeah, and I'll let you go there, Mickey. Go on.
I mean, look at the side he had at Bishop Auckland. Was it Danny Mellenby and Brunskill?
Yeah, Mickey Nelson. Yeah,
Mickey Nelson. So, I mean, he had some bloody good players and who went on.
Jeff Smith as well.
Jeff Smith.
Yeah, to Bolton. Yeah. That's just four you can name off the top of your head, you know.
I think my brother mentioned, spoke to him today, and he remembers a bit more than me. He said, I think he signed on loan Keith Scott when he was at Gateshead, and then he went on the next year or so for 500,000 to Norwich or somewhere. He always had a good eye for players. He could try play and try and bring him into the team. And then, like I said, some of the lads have moved on and had fantastic careers in the game.
Yeah, and
did you never get a phone call, Graham, to come to Gated?
He mentioned a few times, but did you? I asked my brother, because I couldn't remember today if my brother played, but at the time he wasn't. He was too young and he was elsewhere at the time, but I wasn't sure if he'd actually played. He'd retired on his second stint, I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I kept saying to him, why are you going to bring your Graham? And he just used to laugh and smile and say, we can't afford him.
Yeah.
Graham, at one point, I'd have loved to be able to play for my dad. When I sort of like retired, I ended up going and playing for Celtic Nations for a season or two. My dad came in with us for a little bit, so it was nice to just have that little work together a little bit. But I didn't play much. I was more stood in the touchline with him and working with him that way. But he's a football mad, and I learned a lot. Every game I've run through the under 23s in Middlesbrough now, but he'll come up most of all my games, and he'll always have a comment or tell me what I should be working on with the lads and have a little. And you've got to take his advice.
Well, as so I say,
sorry, David. I'm
so would you here. When you've worked with Ainsley Pearce and Brad James as well?
Ainsley Pearce, Brad James, Nathan Dale, Dan Ward, and Montgomery had just moved on before I came into Middlesbrough.
Oh,
so
fantastic.
There's a few of your boys there, yeah.
Yeah, so Pearce especially. He was an excellent season for us, as was Brad James. And,
yeah, Brad's doing well.
Yeah, he's at Aldershot now, isn't he?
He's on Aldershot, I think. I'm not sure he's there, but he's still like, he's only on loan, so he'll be coming back at some point. But he's a good lad.
Two nice lads. Well.
Yeah, fantastic lads. Yeah, even the two boys you got now, with Nathan Dale and Dan Ward, they're fantastic lads and great attitudes on them both.
Yeah, it's nice to hear, but I mean, I told you the story about my daughter, didn't I?
Yeah, that's a brilliant story. I've told him. That's brilliant. When you said Tony Lee, I was thinking, how good that. Yeah, he's a good mate. Had a good stint in it. No, I'm on about a name. That was brilliant.
Honest, my ex-girlfriend looked at me as if I've just shit on the carpet.
I've got a boy and a girl. He's tried each time. With a name Tony. Oh, why didn't he call him Tony? And then the girl, call him Tony. But he didn't get his way. So. I'm glad he's got it in with yourself.
Yeah.
he was buzzing when I told him mine, because he didn't have any grandchildren at the time, he said.
No, I didn't. It wasn't until, a couple of years later, my brother-in-law had the first, and then we've got two now.
I keep trying to encourage them.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he always wanted. He was desperate for, and especially I've a little boy. When I get a chance, I'll take him out on the grass and we'll do a bit of football with him. I'm like, yeah, of course, Dad. Yeah. He just wants to keep teaching and helping and doing football.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's fantastic. Well, Graham, thank you very much for joining us.
I appreciate you having me. Really do.
Just to your dad from us, and we're all thinking.
Give him a massive cuddle from us.
I will do, and thanks very much, everyone, and good luck to everyone.
Cheers, thank you.
You take care, Graham, and all the best.
Any styles, bye bye.
Mate, there we go. That was Graham Lee there. Fantastic to chat to him. As you see, he was one of them players I always thought might have turned up at Gateshead later on in his career. It would have been
Tony for it, so.
Yeah, fantastic, and also obviously the link that he's been working with some of the Gator players that we've got now, you know, when they've been in the Middlesbrough set up, because they've had some fantastic players come through the ranks, haven't they? We've had lots of messages come in, so we'll get these out. When's the Kints announced? Don't know yet. David Ray has put, everything is going against us in terms of league, COVID, weather, no fans, other teams, cup runs, etc. Mason Ford's put, evening. Lads, thank you for joining us. Also, as well, we've got even lads. Great 1-0 win for Geisley. Should be against Geisley. I think Jacob Blythe will be a good addition alongside the two South Shields players. Blythe is a good striker, and I believe he's played in the Football League, so he'll be a good addition to the squad. He certainly will. I mean, hopefully, we'll see more of him. Well, see him, because he didn't get to play for that. And obviously, David Ray's put thanks, Graham, there. So, what a nice chat with Graham. We're going to quickly play a message from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to have Tony Carter ringing us in about 10 minutes. But before that, we'll chat about the game on Saturday. So, this is just a message from our sponsors. And we are going to make a better advert for this. It's just at the moment we haven't been able to. But our sponsors, Northern Print Solutions, we thank them as ever. Well, there we go. Our sponsors, Northern Print Solutions. Remember, you can message the show. Do it as people have been doing. Just message on this video link and it will appear. And if you are listening on the audio podcast, because we know people still listen to the audio podcast, thank you very much. We know some people don't get to watch us live and just prefer their podcasts audio. So a big thank you to the people that are still listening on there. It's all very much appreciated. Now, Saturday, we played Guiseley, and it was a very fast and frenetic game in the first half. Second half, a little bit change of dynamic, but Gator kept plugging away and got their goal at the end. And this is the winning goal from Macaulay Langstaff.
Greenfield, if he looks up, finds Devidix gets the ball to Callum Griffiths, who gets past his man, crosses the ball in. It's a good one. And in comes there Macaulay Langstaff at the back post. And Gateshead have took the lead in injury time.
Unbelievable play from Callum Griffiths, by the way. A lovely touch, lovely cross. I mean, that's an unbelievable ball far post. I thought Preston was going to tap it in the middle, but credit to Macaulay Langstaff. Good finish back post. I think Gateshead deserve that. Just about deserve to win this game.
Well, that was the winning goal, and see, it was a change of formation, and of course, we haven't really mentioned as well the two South Shields players in Dylan Morse and in Blair Adams that came in and both slotted in very well. On the commentary we gave, well, we weren't asked. Normally, we were asked to pick a man in the match. We picked Danny Greenfield, but there was a few players stood out. But of course, Dylan Morse come in centre of defence, helped keep a clean sheet, and Blair Adams was instrumental in a lot of attacks down the left hand side. But look, haven't played in a while. Kept a clean sheet with two new players in the side, and with a change of formation, and won 1-0. Can't ask for much more.
Well, Gary Mills used to say 1-0 is the perfect result, didn't he? That was what Gary Mills used to say. But to be honest, with Blair Adams and Dylan Morse, yeah, they played really well. Well, I thought Danny Greenfield had a good game as well. Kyle Griffiths had one much better game. And if I'm looking at that, I bet that's Guys, the fullback wished he'd just pulled because he went to grab him and then backed off. I bet he wished he'd dragged Callum Griffiths down because that ball in was fantastic.
Well, see, the Guiseley lost their shape when they made the substitutions. They got brought off, I think it was the left wing back, I think it was, and they changed it all around and just lost their shape. And we obviously grew into the game in the later stages, and you know, we got our rewards, kept going away. And hang on, we've got a message here. This one's from David. I've been really critical recently, but we had a game. People worked hard, and we got ahead, and we won. And as I say, we can't ask for much more. But we looked good in spells in that game, and we rid our luck at times. But also as well, we had that man Monty back in goal for the first time in quite a few weeks. And he pulled off this amazing triple save in a few seconds.
Set pieces now, because that throw-in is like a set piece, isn't it? Well, Parsons puts the ball in there and headed off the bar. I think it was a lovely save there from the feet from Montgomery. It's still not cleared yet. Another fantastic save by Montgomery down to his left. And wow, that was some reaction saves from James Montgomery.
Outstanding from Montgomery, at least three saves in there that you could put in the very, very top bracket. What I would say is Gateshead absolutely all over the place at the back there, and that'll be a major concern against a big physical Guiseley side. Someone needs to take control at the back, whether it is Alex Nicholson as the experienced one in that back.
Well, amazing.
Superman.
Amazing reaction saves. And, you know, we talk about the perfect hat trick, you know, left foot, right foot, header. Well, that was a combination of saves. It was left hand, right hand, and foot, wasn't it? You can't do much more than
that. It was absolutely amazing. Sadly, for me, I don't know what it was like for everybody else. When that the trio of saves happened, my stream just went all the pot. It was just all broken up, so I didn't really see that until I'd actually seen the highlights. But, What a save! What three fantastic saves, and that's what Monty gives you. And he's a very good keeper, and no one ever doubted. I thought young Harrison Mayle, when he stepped in, he done really well as well. Yeah, he made a couple of mistakes, but he's a young kid. And now you've got Rob Elliott in the background helping them out.
Yeah,
that's only going to be a good thing for them.
They're helping the coaching staff on Saturday. Yeah. So I bet he was impressed with that triple save. It was just fantastic. And it was, say, if anyone could message in and they were watching the stream on Saturday, if they had any trouble with that, unless it was just your internet and just you had a dip in the broadband, which made it stutter for you. But yeah, send in some messages. We've got
all afternoon, Dave.
Did it?
I don't know if it was the internet and the weather, or I don't know.
Well, we've got Arvid has put, evening lads, Norway calling, great to see yous, excited to hear Mr. Carter soon, can't wait. So there we go. You can do as Arvid has done, just message below the video, whether it be on the Facebook or in the chat and on the live messages on YouTube. And also, if you can see just below us here, there we go. Like the page and subscribe as well, because it helps us help to reach more people. That's what we want to do. We want to have more people listening. Share it with your friends, and hopefully we can get more and more people interacting and talking to us, as Roger Ely has done. He's put, I think we missed Hunter, particularly in the first half. I think we missed his height in midfield, just sitting in front of the back four on Saturday. But Greenfield did very well. He broke up play and he helped distribute the ball well. I think that's why me and or myself and Mark Rivers picked him out for man of the match. But obviously it went to Dylan Morse from the official one. But yeah, there were some good performances all around the pitch. But I'll be looking forward to seeing Hunter back in the side myself. I think he's grown into that position, like the half back, just in front of the back three or back four, and he breaks up play, and he's great in the air as well.
He's come on really well. I've been very impressed with Jack Hunt all season. He does the dirty work, and he's one of them that he's not one of the more glamorous players, so to speak, and he just does his job and does it well. And yeah.
And that year away at Blythe, he's definitely matured as a player. And you know, remember, he was just a young lad when he came to us. That's in his first spell. He had been released from under 23 football, and he was getting his first taste of professional men's football. And you know, he's went away, experienced different things at Blythe, different dressing room, different culture, part time football. He's come back to full-time football, and I think we're reaping the benefits of someone that's got a bit more experience underneath him now.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're starting to see why he was captain at in Newcastle's youth team. I've been very, very impressed. I'm running out of superlatives to say for the lad. He's been really good. That's all I can say. He's been really, really good.
He really has. And just before we bring in our guest, Tony Carter, he's about to join us. You may have seen on Gated social media, there was a link to go to a vote. And this is the strips that are on offer or to be voted for next season. And I'm a fan of the home strip A and away strip A. I like both. I both like the checks, but I wouldn't be unhappy with any of those.
I like both Bs, but I'm slightly disappointed because I wanted to stay with the half and half shirt.
Yeah,
I thought
I'm gonna try and
I was
be on
hoping the half and half shirt would be here to stay.
Yeah, a bit like have it as our identity, like Blackburn Rovers or something like that, you know, and have it as. But we are going to be joined by the man, the myth, the mouth, Tony Carter. Hello,
Tony.
Hello,
boys.
Nice to see you.
Chin. It's water mixed with gin, don't worry.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Is that right?
All the better for seeing you, son.
Same to you, Michael. Same to you, my friend.
Yeah. Well, see, we were talking to Graham Lee earlier on. I don't know if you've seen it. We were talking about his dad.
Ah, yeah.
With dementia. And, obviously, you were there with Mickey because he's got a few more years on me. But in his first stint, what were your memories of Tony Lee, the manager?
In his first stint, Dave, we had no money. Signed Billy Saint Thonia. didn't play attractive football, but had some decent players. And Mickey probably laughed, Charlie Butler. I like Charlie Butler. You got your goals. You know what he's about.
Had the heart of a pea.
Yeah, but that's that's about right. In his first spell, very lucky to lose his job, obviously, to Mickey's friend. He was unfortunately suffering from dementia as well. Obviously, you know what I mean, don't you, Michael? Second spell yet again. Very lucky. He had two spells against the manager. Popular with the fans. Very popular with the fans. But unlucky. Popular. Yeah. Nice man. Had time for the fans off the pitch. You know, he speak to you. He wouldn't hold back. Just very unlucky in both spells. And I've got good fond memories of the man as manager. You know, honestly, look, you know, great bloke. You know, if you look at the team and actually went up under Ian Bogey, a lot of them players he brought in, you know, and a lot of them players, you see the jealous squad for that, you know. So he did put the foundations.
He did the foundation.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Mick, definitely, you know. I just think as a manager, he was unlucky in two spells. You know, had him in two spells. And well, I think there wasn't one fan glad to see him go in both spells. Both spells, both big fans were good. I was, Mickey was, you know.
Yeah, just a lovely man. Obviously, if anyone that met him will probably echo those statements. But as I say, we were talking before, we mentioned about when we were at Fleetwood and I think we were losing. And he's going around asking what the Chef Wedd score.
I think it was the first something for Doncaster, wasn't he? And he says, I lost that game 1-0. It's a game I should have won, actually. Davey Southern got clouted in the face. Should have had a penny, but anyway, got long story short, we're losing the game. He was asking everybody, what's a Doncaster score half time? I remember on the way down, I mean, obviously Davey on the bus as well, on the way down to Blackpool. I mean, Derek Bell put with some, and the Diggsy put in bloody hell, honestly. Amityville Horror, honestly. You've heard of the Blackpool Dungeons? I think we stayed in them. All the way down, all he was interested is even on the way back. Even after a lot of had a great weekend, lost the game, he was running the book on the way back on the Premiership games. He was just obsessed with betting. But he was great. That particular weekend, I just remember Craig Baxter, young kid. You know, he'd been with a few games. Running up and down the hallways, keep waiting about 2 o'clock in the morning with two cans of Foster's, one each hand. It was a trip from hell, but it was a good trip. If that made sense. We took amazing girlfriends, and by God, I got the honeymoon suite. Christ almighty, if that was a honeymoon suite, bloody hell. It just a fun weekend, it really was. But that's what the man was like. You know, he took the fans on the bus, he had time with the fans, and you know, honestly, I was gutted when he actually lost his job, actually, at Gator in the second. Absolutely gutted, because you could see the team was coming together. He signed some players that let him down, I think. You know, ex-pros like Ian Clark, I thought, let him down. You know, good, solid players in that days. We got them, seemed to be past their best. But he did have the makings, like I say, the backstars and that. So he did have the makings of some, you know, players that would go on to know to do well for the club, you know. So and the foundations were laid by him, you know.
Certainly did. It's Tony, talk about current circumstances. I think you watched your stream on Saturday, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm just having a drink of water, sorry. Just a bit more. Yeah, that was my first. I was a stream virgin. I watched the live stream, very impressed actually, because I'll be honest with you, I don't like watching streams. I like being there, or I'm not a posh UL on Sky or BT, but I just don't seem to like the quality of streams. Very, very surprised. But, you know, bought it for the first time ever. I mean, I get the, as you know, Dave, me and your Eagles fans, I get the Eagles streams, I get the codes for them. I don't actually watch the games because I'm not a fan of sitting with, you know, like on a laptop, but obviously that's how thick I am. I didn't realize I could put on my bloody telly, did I? Which, you know, which I didn't know, but really enjoyed it. Yeah, what a family afternoon, the whole family watching the game, and it was bittersweet that to actually score a winner in the last minute or injury time instead of conceding. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it, yeah.
Different, wasn't it? To be scoring the late one.
Yeah, it made the night more enjoyable. I think that's, you know, I think that's pretty why I stayed up that late celebrating.
Yeah.
Oh, do you need an excuse, Dave?
Nah. I don't think so. not particularly. But no, I enjoyed it.
I've got a quick story of what Tony Lee told me years ago when we come back from a game. It was on about Neil Granigan.
Neil Granigan,
Granigan, yeah. He always used to come back overweight from pre-season. And apparently they've been given these regimes. This is Tony Lee telling us, and he says, they've all been given a fitness regime in this first year pre-season. They get on the scales. And he looked at the scales. He says, bloody hell, Granner, you're our weight again. And he meant to say it to him, what's the lowest playing weight you've ever been? Instead, he said, what's the lightest you've ever been? And Granner went 7.3 ounces.
That was a man of a team, man. He's brilliant, honestly. Brilliant manager, honestly. I was really, really, really good at obviously, when he left the second, I was good at the first time. Obviously, to be replaced by you know, right, Tommy Casty, who was, he was commercial manager at the time. Mickey, is that right? He was commercial manager.
Commercial manager.
Yeah, yeah. And then a few, obviously, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tommy Casty had we had a good memory at Wycombe Wanderers in the FA Trophy type thing, you know. But you know, I don't know. Obviously, Cassidy, I think because we got rid of Lee. I think that until Colin came along, and then obviously Colin left. We got another good manager in Tony Lee again. Yes, down the line, it's, you know, look, basically local lads who know the non-league scene and out. You know, I mean, you've got to understand in the first spell when even in the second spell when money was a bit tight, you always seem to find a gem from non-league football in the northeast. Tony Lee, you know, look at his record at Whitby. And how long was he at Whitby? You know what I mean? His record was second and none there. You know, great manager, absolutely great manager.
Greg Solly has sent this message, but agreed, lad, and half it. Wait for years for it to come back. Shame it was just for one season. It would be nice if it did come back, and it would be our identity, really. It would be nice because, but as I say, we'll find out the results of the vote, I'd imagine.
I kind of had before for years to get that strip back, and then I'm shocked. You know what I'm saying? It's one after one season. Technically, nobody's seen the team actually, apart from myself commenting, Dave, nobody's seen that team play in the flesh for that trip, and it might not be. And that's going to be the shame because long-standing fans, including myself, have always wanted to see that strip back on the pitch at the International Stadium in a competitive game. We're not going to get that chance.
I know. It's a real shame, but obviously we're talking about going to see football this season. It looks like that's not going to happen.
Nah, it's not going to happen.
We were talking before, there was a statement put out by the National League that they have contacted the clubs. They had a league meeting yesterday. They had meetings with the clubs today. There was a statement put out about an hour and maybe 2 hours ago that there was three options on the table or three discussion points, one being that the clubs take a loan, the league takes a loan, or we end the season now. Now, can't see many clubs taking the loan. No one wants to get into that state.
No, they're not going to do that.
The league itself is not a big money generator because the TV rates are minimal. The sponsorship isn't that big. And the league to get into debt is probably the high end to nothing. And to end the season, it seems like the most likely case at the moment, doesn't it?
I think it's going to happen. It's you know, let's be fair. Look at us yesterday. Look at Blythe. Two teams without a game we should have been playing. I couldn't get that fixed on. I just think teams now have assigned themselves to why have more expense, you know, let's be fair, injuries, paying for COVID tests. I think Blythe, unfortunately, she's going to stay up again by default, which is unbelievable. Seeing that, many, they don't want to be in the league, obviously. So, it's, you know, it's we're seeing that, you know. Will it take relegation? You tell me. I don't know. They can't afford to play at this level. So it's a hard...
Sadly, I think we're going to see a lot of clubs maybe a little bit lower down the pyramid that will actually go. We've seen a couple go in Wales earlier in the season. I think there's been one or two. I mean, was it Jersey had to actually, or Guernsey, one of the two, had to pull out when they eventually got into the league?
Guernsey.
You know, hopefully they get to go back in next year without any restrictions. But it's hammering football, really, at this level. It's going to kill off some clubs. It will happen.
You know, the good thing about gating is, it has been run at the minute very well by the people who's took over the club, the trust, the people that's involved. It is well run. There's no immediate financial worries there, which I know of. So we're in a strong position, in fairness, as a club. Is it advisable to finish the league now? Probably is, to be honest with you. It probably is. You know, it really is. I don't think clubs should take loans. You know, I'm in a business now. I haven't took any loans off the government, bounce back loans, anything like that. I've worked through it now. I mean, and I wouldn't, because it has got to be paid back. Remember, a loan is a loan. It's got to be paid back. It doesn't matter if it's low interest rates, X, Y, Z.
If we look at the bigger picture today as well, we've had nearly 2,000 deaths today. And for people to be complaining or... you know, saying, well, we're not going to get to the game or whatever. I think we just got to look at it and say, well, look, we're just going to have to put it, you know, to say, well, that's it this season. If it is the case, we don't know what the league's going to come up with, depending on what the clubs say.
But be honest with you, I do think the league should take it up with clubs' hands. It's over for some clubs because some clubs want to remain playing, some don't. I mean, I think we want to remain playing, but look at Dalton, 11 games they've played this season. They're not going to catch up. There's no way they're going to catch up. Take the financial burden off them now. Don't let them travel a game 2 weeks' time. It'll cost thousands of pounds for, you know, for COVID testing, for expense.
I did see one post on Twitter from one of the non-league journalists that apparently this weekend's fixtures are going to go ahead.
Yeah.
And next midweek's fixtures will go ahead. The ones that can that aren't weather affected. COVID affected, but after that it's, you know, up in the air completely.
I do think the league should take a stance. The league should, they're putting it in the club's hands. Okay, I can understand that they're all putting in the club's hands, but some clubs will want to play on because technically there's promotion involved and there's relegation involved. Well, not so much relegation, beg your pardon, there's promotion involved. I just think the league should make a stance and take it out of their hands. I really, really do, you know.
Yeah, and obviously we've got Luke Heed FC there. He's just put, well, the if the end of the season, it wouldn't be fair for top of the table Gloucester after having an amazing run in the league.
Yeah, I get it. But I get that, Dave, but the problem you've got is...
I mean, look at Chester. They've got players effectively playing for nothing. They're sitting second in the league. And for them, it's a real bittersweet because they'll not want to take a loan out, but they'd love to be able to finish the season the way they are at the moment. And that's horrendous for them.
Double-edged sword, Dave. It's a double-edged sword, unfortunately. I just do think it's very easy for the league to say the club's going to make the decision. I think it's the other way around. The league run the league. They're in charge of the league. They've got to make the decision. Take it up the club's hands. Simple as that.
They bottled it last season.
Yeah.
They bottled it last season. So what makes you going to think they're going to do it this season? Yeah. If you're going to null and void the season, completely null and void it, because I didn't want to go through the same crap we went through with points per game and elite sports and non-league games and crap like that.
Yeah.
If it means tough for Gloucester or York or whoever, tough, that's it, end of.
See, the problem is with the conference in Germany, you think about it, they've got the BT Sports, you know, they've got the BT Sports deal. So obviously the Premier League clubs obviously get that little bit more TV exposure. They want to finish the season because there is money in there, a little bit more money in their pot. So if they finish the season, they'll stay in the league. So it would be unfair in Gloucester, but where do you draw the line? What's fair and what's unfair? Where do you actually stop? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Every team's going to have a positive and a negative to any outcome. As I say, if you just blanket across, either end it or... I don't know if there's another option. Maybe if there's 10 teams or 8 teams want to continue playing, do they have a little mini league to end the season in the playoffs? But then again, someone could say, well, that's not fair. If we had known that option was on the table, there's so many permutations. You just don't know.
It's a mess, Dave. But I still think the league should take it out of the club's hands. Don't put it in the club shouldn't have the say on this. As far as I'm concerned, they shouldn't anyway.
If we end the season, what's going to happen to players' contracts? They would have to be paid up. I would imagine if they signed a contract, clubs would have to find the shortfall of that. Regardless, you would think. I would imagine so. The DCM weren't clear, and the league took a huge gamble. Well, the things that came out was it a week before the season started, or three days before the season was to start, where they went, well, no, there is going to be cover for you to be able to play this season. And obviously, I think everyone thought that they were going to have fans back in by December. Obviously, COVID took a nosedive on those plans. And it's like you said before, how many people can take out loans, or how many freebies can you give out to certain businesses when it's not an essential business, football? Yes, it's nice to have around, but why should the government have to fork out millions or... You know, but then again, the FA is sitting on a lot of money. So is FIFA. FIFA's sitting on a lot of money. And, you know, you've got to point the finger somewhere. And the FA and the leagues, I think, are massively at fault here.
Dave, you can only take a loan out as well, you know. I mean, let's be fair. How many clubs, what assets have they got? I mean, technically, I mean, obviously, the banks are banks. Or what obviously, are the loans going to come from the FA, as you say? Are the loans going to come from banks? The problem you've got with bank loans at the minute is that they'd rather invest, let's be fair, in business, employing people in a football club.
I did read somewhere said they were going to be interest-free loans, completely interest-free loans. But still, that's, even though it's interest-free,
the things back.
Yeah, yeah, it still appeared back. I mean, are these loans? I don't know how these loans are going to work with the football. I've got no idea. But is there a loan on an asset? What asset have most clubs got? They rent their grounds. How would they get the loans? I mean, normally when you take a loan out, you've got to have some kind of asset you can put against. You know, and what can you put against the football club, interest free or not? Is them loans coming from banks, or is them loans going to come from the FA, is UCA, whatever? I think. Forget the loans, clubs should just be, to me, this is my opinion, forget end the season now, have less expense for the clubs and just try to get back when we can.
Yeah, well, John Laverick has actually made a good point there. I forgot about the furlough scheme is still in play.
It's still in play, Dave, the furlough scheme. I do believe when gated players aren't playing, technically they can be furloughed in between games because technically the training doesn't class as work, if that makes sense. I think most clubs are that. And he is right what he says about the furlough scheme, but then again, you know, how long they got these players? That means if you're furloughing somebody, how you got to keep them for next season if you don't want them to a certain length of time? I just think the season should end and just start again next year. That's just my personal view on it.
It's just a right royal mess. It's the only way you can really see it. I mean, obviously, friend of the podcast and who used to work at the club, Dom Skerr, he put up an article hearing that Hartlepool would not want to take out any loans. You know what I mean? They're riding high at the moment. They'd want to see the season out, but financially, they're a mess still. They're not completely secure on a great season, but would they want to risk that on the chance of not going up and then having that millstone around their neck?
Only you could see.
Yeah.
You know, we've got Michael Stickney selling behind us.
We can say hello. Stuart Minnis has put, hello, Tony Carter. How's you? I used to do the Captain Thunder mascot, the Gates of Gain.
He did. I'm good. Thanks, Stuart. Yourself. Hope we get back to Thunder. I hope that's another thing. We were supposed to be back at rugby in February. That looks like it's been put on hold as well, you know. And they've heavily invested in players. It's the whole sports mess at the minute, you know. I just think all sports at elite levels should just, or our level should just stop now and just basically, you know, don't spend any more money on trying to get promotion on something you might not get. As I say, I think you'll have promotion in this league if it continued, obviously, with the Premier, the North and the South. But obviously, anything below, you know, it's a waste of time, you know.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, Tony, thank you very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And
I've never seen you with donkeys.
I know. I've been keeping myself fit, doing a jog every day, keeping off the ale. Well, this is water, obviously.
Anyone I thought got you on Facebook.
It's only because the pub's shut.
Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? You know?
I bet you're shaking like a shitting dog.
Believe it or not missing it. Not the slightest.
Really?
Not the slightest. I'm actually doing longer hours at work. Doing okay. Employed more drivers, more wagons. Been a bit quiet this month, but I've put everything in the work now. To be honest with you, so working hard.
Good on you, bud.
That's why I've lost all this hair, put weight on, and I've got all these bags. That's not from years and years of abusing my body. That's from hard, solid work the last couple of months.
Well, Tony,
that's if you actually work and
Tony, we'll see you can abuse your body. But thank you very much.
See you later, everyone. Take care.
Take care, Tony. Watch me, Dean.
I will.
Oops, sorry, I cut him off there by mistake. But there we go, Tony Carter. Well, as we do at the end of the show, you can be part of the show. In fact, I've put it up there like that. There, you can ring the show. If you would like to speak to us, you can join us. But it's a bit of a mess. Is the season going to continue? Hopefully, but not the detriment of the club or any football club, really, to be honest. And everyone's safety is paramount, and that is what we want. We're just going to have to see what the clubs come out and say after these meetings, to be honest. And by the way, this is not knickers on the radiator. It is my son's T-shirt. I've just seen it in the background there, in case anyone's thinking he's got his dirty knickers on the radiator.
Oh, Calad moved in.
I know. Oh man, but yeah, if you do want to ring us and talk about anything that we've talked about, of course, as well, we'll put up them. I don't know if the vote is still open or if it's closed, but these were the options for the new shirts, and they're quite snazzy still. Of course, I think a lot of people would love to have kept the half and halves, but as a replacement going forward, they're not too shabby.
Well, option B reminds me of the old Century kit.
Yeah, a little bit, like Ajax a little bit, because that one was more like a solid black line down the front, wasn't it?
And we went, got relegated with that bloody thing.
Yeah, it started off good that season. 3-0 win. Paul Connors scored 2 goals.
I was in Greece when that happened, actually. I was on holiday with the lads.
Hey, well,
they all slid downhill when I come back.
I was going to say, when you come back, it all went tits up. If you are just joining us, we'd like you to know that you can follow us on Twitter as well for any notifications, and we share any news that comes out of the club as well at @Heed_Army. So we'd love you to do that. Follow us, and as we said before, like and subscribe, like the Facebook page, share us as well when we're on or after, with any friends that you know that go to the Gateshead game. We'd love to have them involved and get on the show, and subscribe. And if you watch on YouTube, subscribe and help us reach that 100 followers, because then if we get 100 followers, we can change the URL name to Heed Army Podcast. And Sarah Ray has put, Mickey, don't you have David's knicker on? You don't have David's knickers on your radiator, do you?
All the time.
Yeah.
Not just Davey Gaddis, your David's as well.
Well, what can I say? I don't wear any knickers when I go around Mickey's. What a load of teams in the lower leagues every time do after the halftime virtual pint, £1 cash in goes into the club's kitty. Yeah, I think we'll get to do the 50-50 draw, don't they, at the moment. Yeah. So they keep doing that. It's great. And the West Peterborough Supporters Club branch need a shout out. They did send a message there before. I'll try and put it on, and I'll get it here. There we go. Greetings from West Peterborough branch. Though we've not had a match to see nearly a year now, of course they've taken a lot of the away games, but now out of all, our health comes first. We only hope the FA etc. stump up to help tier 5 clubs money-wise, keep the podcast. It's great for us exiles. Well, we will. We'll keep it going. Don't worry. Shout out the fellow West Posh member, Bob Clancy. So, yeah, thank you very much for the message there. And we've got a message from Sam Pennant. He's put, tough times for everyone at the moment. I think the season will be ended as some teams like York have been badly affected by COVID and only played 12 games. Main thing is everyone is safe and well. Even Blythe, I mean, you know, we don't like them. They're the rivals, of course, but they've been absolutely hammered by COVID positive tests. And it's not great. And it doesn't matter if they're rivals or not. If they kind of get the games on, what's the point in, you know, doing this? And especially if the way money is and the funding and grants isn't coming, then it's not really wise, is it? But we want to hear, if we've got about 7 minutes left, we'd love to hear from you. Go on, send us give us a ring on there. We're waiting for you to get in contact with the show. We had Dave Allen and David Ray ring us last week, so if you do want to get involved, please do. And our next show is our 300th show. I don't know exactly when it'll be. Hopefully be next week. We want to try and arrange and try and get some big guests on for the 300th show. So it might be later on in the week next week. We want to try and, you know, get some people on, or some video messages and stuff, just to, because reaching 300 broadcasts, it's been quite good. In the past, we had our 100th broadcast from the Three Tons. It was great. We hadn't even had a cake. He'd only cake, which was great. From
courtesy of Trish Wilson.
Yeah, so be nice to have some kind of celebration. We even have a pint on air, and then we can start the obscenities. But yeah, we do
start a fight.
Yeah, we'll start a fight. But we do want you to get involved. Remember, please do share the show. That's what we always want to do. But we also say as well, because we're not officially anyway with the football club. This is an unofficial fans podcast, but we do work closely with them. And we would like you to follow their social media and the affiliates as well that are linked to the club. So please do follow the Gated FC social media accounts on all platforms. Same with the Gated Soul, and you'll find out anything that's coming out from them. They've done some great things. And the Gated Foundation, more importantly at the moment, we've talked about mental health a lot over the last few weeks. And Gated FC ladies as well. You'll see that Alicia put up a message yesterday saying that their DMs are always open as well for anyone that's struggling during these times, because it is hard. It's not great at the moment. There doesn't seem to be much of a light at the end of the tunnel, and our escape in football, you know, whether it be in streams or, you know, what talking about it, looks like it could be coming to an end. Hopefully not, fingers crossed. But that's just the way it is.
Extremely sad of the season, Gans, but you can understand why. And it'll break my heart to see the season ended. It really would.
I mean, you're going to go 8 months without football, really, aren't you? By the looks of it, at the best case scenario. So as you say, we just go fingers crossed. The powers that be can help the clubs, or if not, we safeguard the clubs and the leagues to be able to play in the future, because that's the most important thing at the end of the day. We've got a really. We're lucky we've had a bit of football this year. You look at the leagues below, their seasons have gone. The last two seasons count for nothing, which is heartbreaking, really. And we've got Kane Weirs has sent a message. Could you get people following the Academy social media platforms too? Gates FC Academy. Yes, please do. Sorry, we didn't mention that. Please follow all of theirs as well. And also as well, you may see on Facebook, it's a Gated under 16s as well. They do a lot of social media things. So follow them on all social media platforms. That's what it's all about. But so it looks like we aren't going to get any calls at the minute. So that's all right. But massive thank you to Graham Lee. It was lovely for him to come on and talk about his dad. Lovely bloke, and please do share this with anyone that was maybe a Gated fan back in the day, and be nice just to share the stories and hopefully get more people talking. And Tony is very comfortable and continues to have a nice standard of life with his dementia. That's all you can ask for, really.
It's sad, and I'm glad Graham's come on and spoke well of him, and he's not going to speak ill of his dad, obviously, but you know what I mean. It's just nice to hear about Tony, and it means a lot to me, Tony Lee.
Well, now we're blessed, especially in non-league, even down to your Northern League level. You've got social media videos going up, interviews, everything is recorded now for history, and. Mm-hmm. If we don't talk about some of the things from 20 years ago and before, that's gone. The podcast is also here to record history. We hear stories. I mean, unfortunately, we lost Mick Thornton. We managed to get him on for a couple of stories. He would still be very much part of the furniture on the podcast as a guest throughout the season. We've lost that history, and we want to try and preserve history now for fans in the future, because hopefully this will be on YouTube forever. And people can, go back and see what was happening, what the fans were saying at the time when they look back at the history of their club. So,
Mick Thornton, how funny was that pre-show when we had done the interview with Mick?
Stories. It's true what they say about milkmen. Christ, he had some stamina.
he says his mate got stuck on a shilling for it if he's seen the hem of a 90. Absolutely classic line.
Well,
absolutely fantastic.
Certainly is gone but not forgotten, Mick Thornton. We'll wrap it up there. A big thank you to Graham Lee. Thank you to Tony Carter as well. And as ever, share the podcast. And we'll be back next week. It'll either be Wednesday or Friday, depending on what we can get lined up for the 300th show. Because we'll try to do a little celebration and get things, have a jolly show, because hopefully we'll have some jolly things to talk about. We'll see what happens with the league, as we mentioned earlier on.
Hopefully it would be a preview with the Alfreton game, David.
It would be nice. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if we can do that. But Mickey, thank you as ever. We've had a decent
pleasure. Year.
And hopefully we'll have a big show lined up next week. And let's see, if the game goes ahead against Darlington on the 26th, we'll hopefully have that to talk about as well. And so fantastic. And everyone, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Take care.